this morning. Thank you, worship team, for faithfully leading us this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the book of Psalm 119. I'm going to read there in just a moment. Just want to take a moment. Sarah already talked about this, but this is what we've set aside as Youth Camp Sunday. I'm not going to preach a message about youth camp or anything like that, but I do want to just emphasize to us the importance of youth camp, a time set aside for young people, but not just young people. It is a time set aside blocking out distractions, blocking out things, and just purely seeking the Lord. Amen. How many of you have ever been to youth camp before? Just raise your hand. All right. Those of you raise your hand, how many would say that youth camp is honestly a life-changing, life-altering experience? Amen. And you know, not every year do we go and get saved. But, you know, I believe in that time the Lord does something. The Lord grows us and challenges us. And so I say that to say this, that we want to do our part to give opportunity for maybe one person, maybe more, but we want to be a blessing and be a part of what the Lord wants to do these next few weeks at youth camp. You know, I don't have a lot of money to give, but, you know, I want to give to support the work so that we can see lives change, that we can see hearts drawn closer to Jesus. Amen. That's what it's about. And so I just want to challenge us this morning to follow the leading of the Lord. If you say, you know what, I don't have anything to give. Can I tell us that the greatest thing that you can give is to pray? To pray. We have some of our own kids here this morning that are going to be going. And I believe we need to be praying for them this week. Amen. And so thank you for your giving. Follow the leading of the Lord on that, and may the Lord bless you in that. The services in the evenings will be open if anybody would like to go. I believe 7 o'clock. I'll find out for sure. But Tuesday through Friday this week, and then next Sunday through Thursday night, I believe, there'll be services going on over the campgrounds just outside of Baxter Springs. Amen? Amen. How many of you have ever just been in a mood where you found something really funny that probably wasn't really funny, right? This week, I said this, I'm going to read a story here in a minute that I thought was really funny. Nobody else may, all right? So just humor me and laugh, all right? But and then go somewhere with it. Sometimes we're in a place where Lord can get our attention through some different ways, amen. And this week, I was driving to, actually, Erin, my daughter, was getting we were trying to get her driver's permit, and who knew that was going to be so hard, not in taking the test, but finding a place that was open where you could go do it. Anyway, we drove all the way to Fort Scott, and we're driving back, and something started biting me. And I was like, ow, this is hurting. And you know what my daughter was doing? Same thing she's doing right now. She's laughing. She found it funny. And I didn't find it funny at all. We laugh about that now. But, you know, sometimes there are some things that we see that kind of tickle us a little bit, right, Erin? And this story did. But I'm gonna go somewhere with it, all right? We're going to be talking this morning about right or wrong. There's two guys named Archie and Roy, all right? Roy walks into the barber shop, and Archie says, "Hey, Roy, I guess you heard about my terrible misfortune." He said, "No, Archie, what happened?" He said, "Well, my great uncle died." He said, "Oh, that's bad." And Archie said, "No, that's good." "Well, how come?" "Well, when he died, he left me $50,000. "Oh, that's good." "No, that's bad." "How come?" Well, the IRS got through with it all. All I had left was $25,000. Well, that's bad. Archie says, no, that's good. How come? Well, Roy, I took the $25,000, bought me an airplane, and I learned to fly. Well, Roy says, that's good. Archie said, no, that's bad. He said, how come? Well, I was flying upside down the other day, and I fell out of it. Well, that's bad. How many say that's bad? He says, no, that's good. How can that be good? Well, when I looked down, I saw a great big old haystack underneath me. Well, that's good. Archie said, no, that's bad. Why? Well, when I got a little closer, I saw a pitchfork aimed right at me. Well, that's bad. Well, no, that's good. How come? He said, well, I missed the pitchfork. Well, that's good. No, that's bad. How come? Because, Roy, I missed the haystack too. And it goes on and on. I'm going to stop there because nobody's getting the humor that I got on that, all right? But there is confusion as to what was bad and what was good, right? And I was reading that. I was like, some of these things are bad. And he's saying it's good. And it must be good. And he's saying, no, it's bad. It's kind of confusing, right? How many know we're living in a world today that there's some confusion going on? There's some confusion between what's good and bad. There's some confusion about what's right and what's wrong, right? And first question I have for us this morning is, how can I know what is right and what is wrong? How many want to know what is right? I found that in most people, not every person, but most people, we have this desire to do what is right. But the problem we have a lot of times is determining what is right and what is wrong. And we'll talk in a moment about some black and white situations, because I think there are some very clear right and wrong things. But also, in our own lives, you know, there are some things that maybe opportunities arise. And how many have ever had an opportunity arise and you pray about it? It sounds good. Right, and as you pray about it, the Lord says no, right? Because that wouldn't be right for me, right? Nothing wrong about the situation itself, but it just wasn't perfect for me. And sometimes we face that dilemma in our own lives of, Lord, I just want to know what's right in this situation and what's wrong. What is it that I need to do? Can I tell us where we need to go to find that answer? Psalm 119, verse number 105, gives us it's a simple verse. It's a short verse in a long chapter, but right in the middle of this chapter, maybe not quite in the middle, but verse number 105. It's a simple truth here, but it's very profound. Where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so, in order for us to know what is right and what is wrong, in the black and white, but also in the individual things, where is it that we need to go to find the direction and to find that answer about what is right and what is wrong? Let there be no confusion about this, that the number one place where we find the answers to life, that we find the answers to our spiritual condition, that we find the answers that which we need is in the Word. And you know, a lot of times we go a lot of places, and we spend a lot of time asking people's opinion. We spend a lot of time debating with even within ourselves of what should I do. But the Scripture here proclaims and declares, and I'm holding on to this for myself this morning. It says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What does that mean? The Word is going to show me where to go. The Word is going to show me which path to take. The Word is going to show me what is right and what is wrong. How many believe that this morning? That we can know what is right or we can know what is wrong based upon what the Word says. Now, it won't always be in your situation. It won't say, Cheryl, should you take this job, or Corey, should you do this? It may not lay it out like that, but you know what? It'll give us the insight and the direction that we need to go, right? John chapter 17, verse number 17, Jesus praying here, and he makes this statement in John chapter 17. In this chapter, he prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, he prays for the believers that are come later. In verse number 17, in the middle of this prayer, Jesus prays this. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. This is what he says, thy word is truth. How many believe this, that the word is truth? Okay, I've made this statement a lot over the past little while, that we are living in a time where the truth is being challenged, where it was once a popular opinion that the word is truth. We're living in a time that challenges what the truth is. Jesus said, "This is not my word, but this is the words of Jesus." When he said, to sanctify them through the truth, set them apart, keep them right. He says, thy word is truth. So if we want to know what is truth, and we want to know what is right and what is wrong, and I believe most of us here this morning know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded of some simple things, that we need to go to the word above all things. Amen. And find the truth as to what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, and what is not. I want to ask us this morning, because I believe we've all, at some point in our life, if we haven't, today's a new day, but I believe at some point we've all heard the truth. The truth has been presented to us here in this nation. We've been blessed, right? Our prayer focus is this week that the truth will be proclaimed. I've been blessed that all my life I've heard the truth, and many of you as well. If not, I believe we hear some truth today. But what is it? What is it that I have done with the truth? How many have ever heard something and just let it go in one ear and out the other? Because maybe because you didn't like it, or maybe because you weren't engaged in that conversation, or you weren't participating in that. I've shared several times of times in my life where at a doctor's office or dentist or wherever, and they're spouting off all kinds of information at me, telling me what I need to do. But what I'm really listening for, what I was listening for in one particular case that I can think of, I was listening for how much it was going to cost me, how much the bill was going to be. And when they finally got to what the bill was going to be, I stopped listening. He shared the truth with me, right? This is what it's going to cost, but I didn't like it, and so I stopped listening and didn't do what he told me to do, and honestly, I suffered because of that. I probably should have just paid the price, right? But in spiritual things, we've been given truth, specifically here in this church. I'm thankful not just in my ministry, but I'm thankful for the ministry that's gone on before me here in this church. I'm thankful that I can honestly say that for as long as this church has existed, to my knowledge, that the truth has been faithfully proclaimed. We've been blessed in that. Amen. But what is it that we have done with the truth? Proverbs chapter 23. The truth that I've been given, have I received it? Proverbs 23, verse number 23 says this. It says, this is what we're supposed to do with the truth. It says, to buy the truth and to sell it not. I mean, I have to pay a price for the truth. You see, it's not talking about monetary. I think it's talking about investing, right? Investing in the truth and putting it into practice and sharing, you know, the things that we're invested in, we pay attention to. I was talking with a man just this week, and he's invested in the stock market. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe I should be a little bit more, but he would tell me every so often, within a couple hours, you know what my stock is doing? It's gone up. You know what? And I found this, that when his stock had went up, he was in a happier mood. And then he came back later kind of grouchy. And I made the statement. I said, man, the stock must have went down, right? But he was invested in it, right? And so he he cared about it, right? But it says to buy the truth, invest in the truth, be concerned about it. But it says this, it goes on to say, and sell it not. How many of you ever sold something and wish you hadn't sold it? Has anybody ever done that? Maybe not right away because of the gain that you got from that exchange. But there have been times where you've parted with something and think you didn't need it, but later on, it's like, man, I wish I still had that. Anybody ever been there before? Man, I wish I still had that car. Man, I wish I still had that baseball card. I still have mine, so I haven't sold them yet, right? But there are times when we give things away or we sell them because in the short term we think it will be profitable, but in the long run we wish that we could have it back. You know, I think there's a lot of people who have received the truth, but have sold it. When I'm talking about selling it, again, not for, I'm not talking about financial, but they've exchanged it or they've given it away for something else. And Lord help us. Lord help us to hold on to the truth. Because the truth, what does Scripture say that the truth will do? Set us free. Without the truth, what does that mean? We're in bondage, right? By the truth, sell it not. Romans chapter 1, verse number 25. I want to read this passage. Romans 1, verse 25. What have I done with the truth? Am I invested in it? Have I sold it? Verse 25. And I don't like just picking up in the middle of a sentence there. So let's back up to we go way back, but let's pick up to verse number 24 actually, and it's talking about people professing themselves to be wise and being foolish, right, and changing God. Verse 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Verse 25 says this, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." This morning I want us to be on guard of this, that there is a temptation and there is a pressure even, and I think the pressure is going to ramp up on the church to not hold to the truth as we once did. You're too harsh. You're old fashioned in that stance, and I've encountered that a little bit this week with some things. I cannot change the truth of God. I can't. And I cannot go against what God's Word says. And you know, people have some hard questions sometimes. And a lot of times I think, well Brian, why is your stance... I'll debated whether to say this or not, but I'm going to, all right? This month has been labeled as Pride Month. I can't go along with that. It's not that I'm against anyone that is in that lifestyle, but this is the fact that God says we're not to have part of that. Amen? So don't get mad at me. If you do, that's all right. But Seldon, I remember a couple years ago, we were at youth camp, and Kendall and Tisha were in charge of it, and we had a question and answer session. And I thought, well, this will be won't be too hard. But you know, sometimes kids have some tough questions. And we were in that panel, and I don't even remember exactly what the question was, but it was pretty hard. And Seldon did a beautiful job of answering that. But he made the statement, and it stuck with me. Seldon, I don't know if you remember saying this, but you said, you know what? I didn't make the rules. I just choose to follow them. Right? I agree with them, but so it's not my standard. It's God's standard. And I want to try to uphold that. But sad to say, we're living in a society and we're living in a church age where the truth is being compromised and where the truth is it's not believed, it's not preached, it's not lived. Why do I have stances that I do? Because I believe what this book says. I believe what this word says. Amen. Again, I didn't make the rules. I just choose to follow. Amen? Lord, help us to do that. What have I done with the truth? Our society has exchanged the truth, and specifically, I think our nation has been blessed with the truth, but we've exchanged it for something less superior. Amen? And Lord, help us in that. You know, God gives warning against mislabeled truth. Isaiah chapter 5, I want to read this passage of Scripture. This Scripture has been in my spirit for a little while now. Brother Denny and I had this conversation just last Sunday about this, the Scripture, actually. But God gives warning against mislabeled truth. He says, through the prophet Isaiah, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see what they're doing? Is this good or bad? Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. Oh, this is right. No, that's wrong. No, this is wrong. No, that's right. It's where we're at, right? And what did the prophet, through the inspiration of the power of the Spirit and of God upon him, what did he say about those who would do that? Start out saying, woe. What does woe mean? We read that. Several, you know, there are times when Jesus said woe to, it was the scribes and the Pharisees a lot of times, wasn't he? He said they're hypocrites because they're saying one thing and preaching one thing and doing another. And so, and you can read on down in a few more verses here. There's a couple more woes going on there, right? Woe unto them that are wise in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. All right, what does that mean when it says woe? It doesn't mean that we're halfway there. It doesn't mean, anyway, that just came to me, all right? But it doesn't mean it's not a good thing, all right? When you read woe, this analogy came to me, and it's in different word and different context, but how many of you ever rode a horse before? I rode a horse one time, and it didn't go good. I was scared, and that horse began to just get up off his feet, And I was really scared. And you know what I was saying? I wasn't raised on a farm or anything, but I watched Little House on the Prairie and I watched Bonanza. And when they wanted the horse to stop, you know what they said? Whoa. So you know what I was saying? Whoa. I threw a lot of in there, trying to get that horse to stop that. And he's probably trying to get me to stop what I was doing too. I don't know. But that analogy came to me that in horse riding, when you want the horse to stop, the rider would say, whoa. When there are some activities that are going on that are not good and not what God wants, in the King James anyway, the word woe is being used. And the definition of that is alas or take heed. Pay attention to what you're doing. And let me say this. I think when God says, woe, it's not to continue on, but I believe it's to stop what you're currently involved in, right? And what's going on right now in our day and age is there's... And we've always heard it preached, and we knew the day would come, but we're living in it now, I believe, where what was once right is now wrong. What was once wrong is now right. And God gives warning against that, that we need to stop. And what happens if we fail to heed God's warning? Can I say there's consequences? Right? God is not pleased when he gives warning, he gives admonition, and because of who God is, I believe he's speaking some woe into us, our society right now. Let's just read on. Verse, I wasn't going to, but verse 23, 24 through 25, when it talks about these woes, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has, as he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Thankful for the mercies of God. Amen. His hand is still stretched out. But he's saying that there will be judgment, right? And there will be repercussions. Do you catch that in verse 24? Because they have cast away the law of the Lord and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Let us not cast away this word. Let us not cast away or despise God's truth. How many of us like truth this morning? The truth is good for us whether we like it or not. And we don't want to be part that because of society, because of political correctness, that we call good what God says is evil, that we participate in what God says to stay away from, right? And someone asked me not long ago, well, what do you think about political correctness? I said, I'm not a fan of it, really. I understand there's pressure. But I made the statement, I said, I would much rather be biblically correct than politically correct. And that's the truth. And in order for me to be biblically correct, guess what I have to be listening to? What I have to be reading? To be biblically correct, I have to read the Bible, right? So Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be in the Word. I want to just close with this question this morning. Do I have a love for the truth? I want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. Again, I got to back up. I'm sorry. I put this in, we're going to focus on verses 10 and 11. But we're going to back up to verse number 7. Actually, verse number 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now is let will let until he be taken out of the way. And when I believe that's talking about the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit's lifted, we don't want to be around for that, right? Verse number 8 says this, says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish. Who's this talking about? I believe it's talking about the Antichrist coming on the scene, and Satan working through him, right? Verse 10 says, all of the deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish. It says they perish because of this. It says, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do I have a love for the truth? Can I just be blunt and honest with us this morning, that if we don't have a love for the truth, we better get a love for the truth? Because if we don't have a love for the truth, we will be deceived. And if we are deceived, it is not a pretty picture there, right? Verse number 11 says, God will send them strong delusion. They would believe a lie. Verse number 12 says, and they might all be damned who believe not the truth. You say, Brian, that's some harsh words. Again, it's not my words. This is God's word, right? How many believe it's truth? And I don't want to be part of damnation. I don't want to be part of cast away. I don't want to be part of depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't want to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. But I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words, enter into the joys of the Lord. I want to be on the right path and not the wrong one. I want to be involved in the right things and not the wrong things. How is it that I can do that? Just simply this morning, begin to pray for a love for the truth. If you have a love for the truth, praise the Lord. But I want to give us warning too, that if you say, you know what, I love the truth, pray for a deeper love for the truth. You know what, and if we have that deeper love for the truth and we're invested in that, guess what we're going to do? We're going to tell other people about it. I didn't ask the guy to tell me about his stocks, but because he was invested in it, he kept on telling me over and over again. When we're invested in something, we'll tell people. Amen. Do I have a love for the truth? There's warning given to us, and I think woe would fit into that, right? Woe unto us who have not a love for the truth. I believe this word is truth. I believe this word is right. I believe this word is wrong. Want to tell us if we believe this word is wrong? You're wrong. But this is right. I'm going to hold to it. Again, the society that we're living in is trying to blur some lines and is trying to cause confusion. And you know what? You know who the author of confusion is? God said he is not the author of confusion, but it's the enemy, right? And so when these confusing times come about what's right or wrong, you have to know who's behind that. But God, He's clear, right? I think it's Hebrews says that it's impossible for God to lie. I believe another passage says that Satan, the enemy, is the father of all lies. And so who are we going to listen to? I choose to listen to God and read his word and apply it to my life, live it out, and share with other people. And can I tell us that if we will do that, we'll be on the right side. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I want to be on the right side. I want to be on His side. Amen. I'm asking us to stand together this morning. Cheryl, if you'll come and just play a little song for us this morning. Thy word is truth, is what Jesus said.